Today, healthier is happening at CVS Health in more ways than you've ever seen. It's wellness destinations for seniors, including select locations with Oak Street Health and CVS Pharmacy. It's doctors, nurses, pharmacists, and everyone in between, offering quality care and support virtually, in person, and on the phone. It's in-home evaluations through Signify Health and meeting mental health needs through Aetna. And those are just a few of the ways healthier is happening. To see more, visit cvshealth.com/healthierhappenstogether. CVS Pharmacy, Oak Street Health, CVS Specialty, Signify Health, and Aetna are part of CVS Health. Eligibility and services vary by location and individual.
What You Need to Know is brought to you by Morongo Casino Resort and Spa. Good times, less than 90 minutes from wherever you are. All right, Funchy, you're in for Lauda today. What do you got?
All right, guys. I don't know if you ever got, if you ever done this in Pasadena. Every second Sunday, they do a big, a big yard sale, basically. Flea market. A flea market at the Rose Bowl.
Really?
Oh,
yes.
You know what? I've not been. But I've heard amazing things about this.
Me too. I've heard amazing things about this. I really want to go too. I like buying very obscure sports jerseys and records.
Yeah, it's awesome. When I lived in Pasadena, we would go occasionally, and it was pretty awesome. Like, it just they always have really cool, weird vintage stuff.
Is that what it is, though? Is it like vintage clothing, vintage music?
I mean, it's a flea market. It's a lot of stuff. You know what I mean? Like, it's not just, you know, it's not just that, but.
Are you guys flea market people? Do you guys have yard?
When I grew up, Funchy, we grew up relatively poor, and my parents, you know, over time, were able to get better jobs. But when I was very young, there was a flea market 5-10 minutes from my house, and we'd go on the weekends. Sure.
So my my mother, she worked in the flea market forever. My mother was like, Ma, why are you working at the flea market, Ma? She's like, I need to get out of the house and do something, you know? So she worked at, like, a sunglass place at the flea market. You know, my mother would always come home with these horrible sunglasses. She's like, they're so good for you. These sunglasses are so good for you.
I bet she could sell.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Listen, Mom worked in probably 5 or 6 different stores inside the flea market. And when I say flea market, this wasn't one of these pop-up weekend flea markets. This was an everyday Yenta Fest, you know? And she was there. Caught up in the middle of it all. But I do like these, like, when you get to a weekend kind of a farmer's market, flea market. I just was at one a couple weeks ago, and this guy had all these old crazy vintage t-shirts, and I was like, am I really going to spend like $35 on a t-shirt that was a promotional giveaway
at a
game?
That's what I was going to say. It's like $35, $40, right? For like a shirt from 1970 with holes in it and stuff like that, right?
Right. Coffee stains.
Now, farmer's market I love. So by me, there's two farmer's markets I like to go to. There's one in Torrance, which is, as you know, I love Torrance. It's my, arguably my favorite city along with Downey. Great farmer's market right on Crenshaw. And I also, there's one in Redondo Beach that's pretty good too, right by the pier. That's a pretty decent, it's much smaller, but they do a nice job there as well.
Farmers markets are great because anybody who comes there, if they're making smoothies or they're making coffees or they've got a food truck sort of like mobile catering, like they bring out their best. And I love going to a farmer's market on a Sunday afternoon and having lunch there and just looking around at what everybody's got. Like, I don't think I need a new set of knives, but they're here, and they brought them. And I think that's kind of cool, and I want to support them. Why not?
I want to say one thing about my farmer's market experience this past weekend. So I go to the Marina Del Rey farmer's market a lot. It's literally right across from the street from me. So I wanted some strawberries, but I like the big strawberries, and I like the ones that are sweet. I get so mad when I buy strawberries, and you bite into them, and they're like sour.
Yeah,
just like,
same with blueberries.
They're not ripe.
Yeah.
Right.
Blueberries need to be like rock solid crunch.
Totally.
Yeah.
So I go there, and I asked them if I could taste the strawberries, because, you know, they're like this big, huge thing of them. I just want to taste one, because people do that there. And he's like, yeah, sure, cuts it in half. I eat one, and me and my roommate are like, yeah, I'm going to get a bunch of these. So I bought like the three packs of them or whatever for $15. I take them home. The dude totally bait and switched me. And there was like 3 good strawberries on top, and the rest were like gross, and like one of them was moldy. I had to throw like 6 or 7 of them out. I was so mad. So I'm going to go back this weekend and be like, hey, man, I think you owe me an apology for giving me some bad strawberries.
Not necessarily an apology. Just how about you owe me some sweet strawberries?
Yeah, or just some good strawberries I can eat. I had to throw a bunch of them away.
Wow.
Dude.
Am I rude if I go back?
There's a place in PV, in Palos Verdes, that it's literally a strawberry stand. Like, that's all it is. It's a strawberry stand in, like, the parking lot of a, of like an urgent care. And this little stand, like a wooden stand, okay? There's a person in there, and they're literally only in there a couple days a week. And it's usually in like the morning, maybe early afternoon, and then they're done. And once they're done with strawberries that they bring from the farm, it's over. Like they don't open again the window until there's more strawberries. So like you just got to know where to go. Like yeah, that's the key to all that. But I'm stunned that that's the case.
I like to pull over on the side of the road when I see somebody selling avocados. And the reason I like to pull over on the side of the road is because I like it when they give you a little bit of warning, like avocados. Okay, so you see a handwritten sign,
coming
avocados,
yep.
Right? Then you go about another 100 feet, and it's like, avocados. I'm like, okay, these avocados are coming. And then you finally see the stand, and you're like, you know what? I braked a little bit. They gave me fair warning. I'm pulling over, and I'm buying this guy's avocados. I don't know why I like to do that.
It's good marketing. Good guerrilla marketing.
Yeah. It's like seeing the alien jerky on the way to Vegas, right?
Alien jerky.
You've seen
what?
That? The alien jerky sign, billboards and stuff like that. Get some
no.
alien beef jerky.
No.
I have. I've seen it. Yeah. I've never stopped, but I've
I never
seen
stopped
it,
yeah. either, but I'm curious.
I've only ever
it's in Baker, right?
There are a lot of signs.
Bakers, yeah. Bakers yeah. and yeah, Barstow.
On the way to Vegas, there are a lot of signs to like I think there's like some place that I always see a sign it's like Nico the Greco. Stop in for Greek food.
Oh, yeah, the mad Greek. That's
yeah,
what it
the
is.
Mad Greek.
Yeah, the
that's
mad Greek. I've seen
I'm like I look at that and
yeah.
I'm like I want to go get a Euro sandwich
Me too.
From the mad Greek.
I've never been, but I heard so many good things about it.
Yeah. I know, a lot of signs get me thinking.
There's a lot of like funky stuff on the way to Vegas. What's the name of that giant ice cream place again? Eddie World or something like that?
Yeah, Eddie's World. It's a big candy ice cream store.
Is there a place also on the way that's got like giant dinosaur thingies?
Well, that's in Cabazon. I went there. It's by kind of by Morongo Casino.
Good times.
And yeah, I was kind of disappointed though because when I went there, they were painted for Halloween, so it wasn't like the regular dinosaur. I wanted it to look like from Pee Wee Herman, but you know, he was wearing like he was painted as Fred Flintstone, and I was like, oh, this isn't like Pee Wee Herman.
Yeah, big time. I mean, it's you can go see the dinosaurs. It's kind of cool.
Look what you did, Funch. I mean, just talking about the farmers market or the flea market at the Rose Bowl. Has turned
led us
into
to
all
these conversations.
Right.
Yeah,
well, that's good, right?
Yeah. It's good. Nice way to start it up, man.
Yeah,
to get it going.
So let's get speaking of conversations. You said Ireland wanted to choke out Travis today. That that literally Amanda was going to have to call, like separate them with security. HR might have had to have intervened. Like who knows what would have happened. So let me hear this conversation, Funchy. It's about LeBron. Stephen A. on First Take today said that with all due respect,
I love LeBron James. I love the man like a brother. I do, but. LeBron James should be traded from the Lakers. But
he says it's in the best interest for both sides, which I wouldn't argue against. I got to be honest with you. Although I get why they wouldn't trade him. And Ireland was a little passionate about it. Let's just say
more than that. He was pissed. He was legitimately
Let's hear.
Angry.
Let's hear it. Yeah.
All right. Here it is that you don't get that. Thank God. Jerry Buss got for years.
Mm-hmm.
Star-driven town, star-effing-driven town. You want to get rid of the star, and you have no plan
one of the
to
stars,
replace him.
One of
oh
the
my
stars,
God, I've never seen John Ireland's
One of
face
the stars
so
never
red.
Plays.
I played golf in the sun.
One of the stars you never
look,
played.
You look like steam was going to come out of your ears.
One of the stars.
This is the worst
scared.
Idea
I got
ever.
You scared me a little
No,
bit.
It's not. One of the stars doesn't play, and the other guy's going into year 20. I'm not saying don't find the next generation of stars. I'm saying these are the wrong guys. Having actors that were famous 20 years ago in a bad movie, is that a star vehicle? That's what we're talking about.
Okay, sure.
What's the difference?
You got to start screaming, Al. You got to start banging on the desk.
Pound the table. It's pretty serious,
wow.
George. I mean,
honestly, I don't think I've heard Ireland that fired up ever about anything. Like,
driven town.
I mean, John Ireland, if I had to rank the most rational people at the station, okay, mm-hmm. I do believe Travis is number one. Like, he is the one seed there. Do you agree or disagree with that?
I'm going to disagree with that. I want to hear the rest
really?
Of the list. Yeah, I'm not sure. I'm not so positive.
Okay,
that Travis
Funchy,
is the
you actually
sure.
work with him a ton.
You find Travis
years.
To be like, rational?
Yeah.
Travis,
right,
most
yeah.
rational person
the
here?
The most coolest guy here, I see.
Cool?
No, I
different
mean, like,
than rational.
Well, I mean, like, cool, level-headed. I've never
right,
seen him
calm
get,
and collected.
Never
yes.
seen him get, like, irated or something or just mad at anything.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He's never been irated?
No,
yeah.
no.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's a good word.
Now,
that's right out of my playbook, pal.
Now, let me ask you, why do you think Travis is not the most rational person here?
Well, I had to really start thinking about my rational rankings.
You don't think you're the most rational person here, do you?
Nah, probably not. I mean, if I'm really looking in the mirror, you know, and I'm really being honest with myself, I mean, nah, I'm probably not the most rational person. I'm more emotional than rational. What, you don't think you're the most rational person, do you?
No, I just said it was Travis, for God's sake. Did you not listen to me?
Not at all. Not one bit. Didn't
I mean, for the
said.
Love of God, not how one. Many times do we do this where I literally said something 20 seconds ago?
Okay, so you've got...
Hold on. Wait. Do you realize how ridiculous it is that I started the conversation by saying that Travis is probably the most rational person on the station? You then start arguing with me, saying that you don't believe he's the most rational person. And then I say, well, you don't believe you're the most rational person, do you? And then you put it back on me and ask me the
That's
same
right. That's right. Because let me ask
rhetorical.
You
hold on. The same rhetorical question, despite the fact that I have already stated on the front end that I think it's Travis.
Well, hold on. Do you think you're the second most rational person? At the
no.
Station? Where do you think?
No.
You rank
I was
going to
say.
Rankings?
I was going to say that it was John Ireland, okay. But after listening to that, I may have to reassess.
Oh, really? Because he's become more emotional than rational, is what you're saying?
Well, at least at the moment, it seems like.
Where are you on this list of rational? You got Travis
somewhere
most.
In the middle of the pack.
Right, Travis 1, Ireland 2. Keep going.
I mean, somewhere in the middle of the pack. Are we including like people who are like fill-in hosts and stuff like that
sure,
too?
Sure, you can go fill-in hosts.
Okay, so then Ireland no longer 2. I would say Ramona 2 now. She's now number 2.
Ramona is now the second most rational person at the station behind Travis.
Correct.
Okay. Then did Ireland go from 2 to 3, or did he make a much
bigger
drop?
Because Ramona gets a little bit out of shape during Game of Games. That's the only time I've ever seen her get emotional.
Hmm.
But outside of that, she's always in control.
Okay, got it. Okay.
Yeah, she gets a little feisty during the competitions.
Now, where would you say Mason is on the national rankings?
Oh, way down. I don't know. I shouldn't say way down. I probably should have that was probably an overreaction. Okay, if I had to do it, it would be Travis, Ramona... Then, like, DeMarco, I would say.
DeMarco's a rational person. I would go with that.
Yeah. So then beyond that.
You know what's so smart about DeMarco is how frequently he agrees with me and disagrees with you, which makes him very high on my rational rankings.
Literally the day we were all together, he all he did was look at you like, really?
No, he looked at you and said, I agree with Cap.
No, he didn't.
Over and over and over again.
All right, go back to Friday's podcast and listen to it.
I don't need to listen to it. I lived it.
I mean, okay. But you also never actually realize what is actually happening. Like, you live in an alternative reality.
Well, I don't know if I'd call it alternative. I mean, I'd call it my own reality. And in my reality, DeMarco Farr was like, George, I got to be honest with you here. I agree with Cap.
He also called you a loony a couple of times.
That may have been the case. But... Again, we caught.
Okay,
him in the
so let me finish my rankings.
What is
Can
your
I
ranking?
Do that?
Keep going.
Okay, so DeMarco Clinton, I would say
Clinton more
after
rational.
That.
Mm-hmm.
Then I'd say, you know, me and Mason in there somewhere after that, or no, you know, Sliwa.
Don't
then
misunderstand. Don't misunderstand a lack of emotion for a great amount of ration.
I don't feel like, I think Sliwa, outside of the trial of the century, is pretty rational for the most part.
All right. So then, wait a second. So far, what I'm thinking here is now, you've got me at the very bottom of the rational rankings here at 710.
Yes. I think that's fair, Cap. No offense.
Yeah.
I don't want to gang up on you.
I'm last in the rational rankings.
Yeah. Funchy, what do you think?
I think Mason's lower than you.
I think you're
okay. Well, there you go.
There.
But they're basically saying you're second to last.
Okay, what about Sedano? Where's Sedano born?
Jeez,
Sedano's right there with me. Come on. There's no way Sedano is considered rational.
He might be a slot or two above you.
Really?
Mm-hmm. I think so. Yeah.
Not much though.
Not
if
much,
any.
Not much.
If
not much.
If
not
any.
Much. Not much.
Yeah. Oh, like, we're
Michael
way
Thompson
over this
might
break.
Be, Michael
right
Thompson
now.
Might be between.
Oh,
the
I forgot Michael. No, Michael's not that rational. He's super emotional.
All right. Yeah, we did.
We're way over the break actually. So basically, these two guys got into a fight over LeBron.
Pretty much. Okay. And now we got a bunch of people on hold that still want to get in on this conversation.
Okay, so let's do that. Let's do that on the other side. I also want to give away the opportunity to hang out with Mason, the more rational than Cap Mason, at the Lombardi Party on May 12th at Hollywood Park Casino. Caller number 7 right now, 877-710-ESPN, 877-710-3776. We do have a couple of open lines. We'll get and win a trip to that party. We're way over the break. We'll be back in 90 seconds.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Like the world.
Great song.
Love this song.
Duran Duran, really good.
I saw Duran Duran about 2 years ago. Maybe a little longer. It was right before the pandemic. I saw Duran Duran at a music festival, and they were still great.
Oh, yeah, man. I've had friends go. I haven't seen them in concert, but I had a lot of friends see them in the past, and they're awesome, yeah.
Hey, by the way, the movie 16 Candles. This movie came up yesterday when we did some crossing over here with Mason in Ireland, and we were talking about all-time great rom-coms. Mm-hmm. And they said to me, name a rom-com that you love. And I said, does 16 Candles count? And they're like, oh, yeah, for sure. Those movies, 16 Candles, Breakfast Club, and other ones that were like Anthony Michael Hall, Molly Ringwald, those were great movies. I could still watch 16 Candles today. Can't watch Star Wars, but could watch 16 Candles, no problem.
When Harry Met Sally is I think, the best rom-com still.
Well, that's why you said that yesterday, Mr. Rational.
Yeah. And what else? Let me see. Jerry Maguire is a rom-com.
Is it?
Yeah.
Is it considered
a
comedy? Is it?
Absolutely. Uh-huh. The whole story is about them getting together. I mean, yeah, there's sports in between, but.
No. The rom part I knew, but the com part, which, you know, there were parts.
Oh, man. Come on. The human head weighs 8 pounds.
Rod was pretty funny himself.
The bleepin' zoo is closed. You said bleep. You know, like, there's a lot of funny lines in that movie.
Hey, by the way, I need to just
Rod Tidwell,
need to make a retraction of something I said earlier on the show.
Oh, boy,
I need to.
Here we go.
Yeah, I'm in trouble with management now, George. So I need to make a retraction on something that I said earlier in the show that was considered inaccurate. And I called the time that was spent together between Mason and Ireland and Sedano and Cap, I called it a crossover.
Yeah.
Now I'm going to have to retract that statement and refer to it from here forward as the super crosstalk.
Yes.
Okay. Like sometimes there's a motorcycle race and that's a super cross, but this is a super crosstalk.
Yes.
And so I needed to retract that for legal purposes. And I've done that now.
Stay on brand, bro.
Yeah. There you go.
Forgetting Sarah Marshall is a great rom-com too. That's another really good one.
I think I've only seen that one time. What's the guy's name in that movie? The guy who plays the
guy who's playing,
what's his name? What's that guy's name?
Jason Segel.
Is that his name?
He's great in that Muppet movie.
He is great in the Muppet movie.
I love it.
He's good in Winning Time, too.
He is good in Winning Time.
Wait, which guy is he
in
Winning Time?
Westhead.
Westhead.
Come on.
Yeah. He does look very unrecognizable. It took me two episodes to figure it out.
I didn't know that.
Oh, no. I knew it right away. Yeah.
No, I was like, oh, God, how do I know that guy? Because you're not used to seeing him with like straight, longer hair.
How I Met Your Mother?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. How I Met Your Mother, right? I also like High Fidelity. That's kind of like a hipster, I think, rom com for me, I feel like, but it's a great movie.
Have you guys seen Crazy Rich Asians?
I have.
Yeah, good movie. I've seen it multiple times.
Very good movie.
It's a good movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love the
end when she's playing that domino style game at the end with the mom. I thought that was pretty badass.
You're impressed that I saw that? Crazy Rich Asians?
I feel like that's not something
I would never have guessed you would have seen the movie.
Yep.
They have a slot machine named after that movie.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
They have a pinball machine named after The Who.
Cool.
Just trying to meet
Who plays pinball?
Just trying to meet you halfway here, you know?
All right, let's get to the calls on this LeBron thing that Ireland and Travis were fighting about. Manuel and Gardena. Manuel, ¿cómo estás, mi hermano?
A little sabor. What is up, Sedano? What's up, Lindsay Baseball, Funchy, and my dude, Scotty the Cap? How the hell are you guys? I'll tell you how I am. I'm better because I'm listening to the Tour de Force that is Sedano and Kaplan on AM 710. So I have to co-sign with Cap, all right? I think we need to give this Big Three about 60 games to really marinate, because it's a trip how we fell in love with them last summer, and now all of a sudden we want to ship them all out. Now, don't get me wrong, Sedano, like you were saying, I could see the angle of getting rid of LeBron and trying to bring in some talent, but I'm not in no more fire sales. We got to get talent for talent, and we know we're not going to get it when you're talking LeBron and AD. So I say we ride with the trio. We got to bring in the right coach, but more importantly, we got to bring in the right roster. You know what I mean?
I'm feeling you in a big way. Way to go, Manuel. By the way, are you and me still a date for the Mandy's or what?
Hey, man, you tell me. I don't want to step on Rachel's toes, though. You know what I mean? Rachel and you, I got your back, Cap.
Yeah.
All right? That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. Well, and you
know, all right, Manuel.
Good work.
Yeah, right.
Thank you, brother.
And today I got here to the studio here in LA Live under the expectation that I was going to sit down with management and George explain to everybody how many tickets for the Mandy's I needed.
Yeah, I don't think you realize that there's not like an unlimited supply for you.
I'm not suggesting unlimited, but I'm going to need at least 12.
Yeah, that's probably not going to happen.
Well, this is the way I roll.
So you keep promising Manuel, and Manuel is smart enough to realize you tell me, because he also knows you're kind of full of crap
sometimes.
No,
no, no. Listen to me. This is the way
I
get down.
You know what you are?
What?
You're full of cap.
Nice. I like that. That's a good segment idea. Full of cap. I like
that. We should do that
somewhere. I do like that.
Where you know how they do the lie of the day? Actually, full of cap is better because all you do is tell lies.
That is a lie.
Right.
Well, they do a factor cap on Travis and Sliwa.
Right. But full of cap is a funnier way to describe it.
Yeah. I like it.
In the meantime.
Yeah. And then you tell us if what you're saying is real or not.
Okay.
Times than not, it's going to be.
This is real. I showed up here today at the 710 Studios, again, under the expectation that I was going to sit down with management and explain, this is the way I get down. I mean, I got people that come with me. Like, when I show up, it's kind of like when Forrest Gump is running through the country and all of a sudden there's 1,000 people behind him, or when Rocky is running through Philadelphia and everybody's chasing Rocky. When I show up, there's a lot of people with me, not behind, alongside. And so I need extra tickets for the Mandy's. A lot.
Yeah, well,
for real.
Good luck with that. Good luck with that.
Are you showing up like a draft prospect at the draft or something? Would you get a table full of people and everything?
It's just that I got a lot of listeners that are depending on me to come with
me. Adios mio. Okay. All right. Well, you figure that out. Let me go to Emilio Moore Park, who's been waiting on hold for a really long time while you've been yapping.
I think this is Elliot in Torrance.
I'm sorry, Elliot.
Town.
My bad. Elliot. Emilio Moore Park is the gentleman who won the contest.
Believe it or not, I took 3 years of Spanish, and that was my Spanish name. But what's happening, gentlemen?
What's up,
Elliot? Oh, well, I do want to congratulate Emilio in Moore Park, who won the contest, who's going to go see the Lombardi Trophy with Steve Mason. But Elliot, my bad. Go ahead, Elliot.
No worries, bro. Let me break this down the best I can. It's not that we need to get rid of LeBron. We need to just control his minutes. Now, all of his injuries, except for the last one, which was the knee, were freak injuries. The knee showed wear and tear. When you start getting the wear and tear injuries, that's when things become trouble. By the way, before I say anything else, Scott?
Sir?
Fellow mensch from Squirrel Hill?
Hey.
I hear you, bro.
Hey, listen, yinzer dying over there in that. Squirrel Hill, George, is the Hebrew section of Pittsburgh.
Ah.
And I'm with you, my Lonsman brother. Go ahead.
Now, let me go on. I'm going to give you a quick scenario of what happened these past 5 years. Now, please bear with me, because I think this tells it like it is.
Okay.
First mistake, Magic Johnson not taking Tatum instead of Lonzo Ball.
Now,
that was the first biggest mistake that nobody even talks about it.
Correct. Stephen A. Smith does give him crap all the time for that, because he told them you should have taken Jason Tatum. Yeah.
So the second thing is, we would have sacrificed the championship. Could you imagine if we still had Brandon Ingram and Tatum? That's your future. We would have had two super solid guys. Second thing, we don't value bigs anymore on this team, okay? You look at Chris Paul. The first thing he said at the end of last season, let's go get JaVale McGee. JaVale McGee is really an adequate, above adequate center. He is an excellent player, and we never gave him any, you know, another guy, DeMarcus Cousins. He's an enforcer. Nobody fears the Lakers. You put a guy like DeMarcus Cousins down in the box, and you got some problems. Plus, he's a stretch five. Now, last but not least, this Bibigo crap, okay? We signed a five-year, $100 million. They got cash, okay? Cash money the Lakers got. And they went on the cheap and didn't keep Alex Caruso. I mean, those things all add up to where we're at right now. Give me your take on this, guys, and thanks for letting me spew a little bit.
All right, pal, real quick, we'll do that on the other side because we're way up against the break. And look, I don't know. I wouldn't call their sponsor crap. I think the sponsor's good.
No,
but
I think,
his point was about spending the money luxury tax.
Right.
I get it. But I just wanted to delineate from that real quick. We'll address it on the other side. We'll play big deal, no deal first, and then we'll have that conversation, address the stuff that he laid out, Cap, because I think he laid it out pretty well, multiple things.
So well that we let him keep going.
Yeah, he's not full of Cap like you, but that is a segment we will do eventually. All right, coming up next, big deal, no deal. We're back in 2 minutes.
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Thank you very much. Linz, what do you got?
Well, oh, man, I need to rinse my mouth out. I just took a swig of my water bottle that was sitting in the office. I have two of them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I think I left it. I did. I left it here, what, 2 weeks
overnight?
Ago?
2 weeks ago?
Oh, 2 weeks? You drank 2-week-old water?
No, I didn't know. And I just, because I had two. They're the exact same water bottle. I just went and took a swig of it, and it's like moldy, disgusting.
Oh,
so grossed out right now. I just threw my water, other water bottle
spit
in the trash.
Out. Ugh.
Oh my God, so grossed out. Anyway, sorry.
Yeah, I don't blame you.
I had to paint the visual because I don't know. I don't know what happened there. Very gross. Or hold on.
Yeah,
that's better.
That's what I was talking about.
All right. So speaking of gross things,
mm-hmm.
I'm just kidding. Just kidding.
Oh.
So Pete Davidson has a certain glow about him.
Speaking of gross things, have I mentioned Pete Davidson?
Yeah, he's not gross. He's all right. You know, he's cool. Whatever. Leave Pete Davidson alone, except for this, okay? So he's got a certain glow about him lately, you may have noticed, and it's not just his new relationship shimmer. The comedian has gotten a spray tan. Pete's bronze glow was very apparent while he was walking the red carpet at the Met Gala with his girlfriend Kim Kardashian. It's a new look for Pete Davidson, as he's never exactly been much of a style icon. And it's actually kind of funny if you think about, like, how that conversation went down, like, with him and Kim or maybe even Kris Jenner. Like, Pete, you know, you're going to need to get, like, a little bit of a spray tan. You're kind of pale. But anyway, do you think that Pete Davidson getting a spray tan before the Met Gala is a big deal or no deal, Sedano?
Yeah, it's a big deal because he's, you know, his brand is I look like a goblin, basically, you know, most days. So, yeah, I would say big deal.
I'm going to go the opposite. I'm going to say no deal. I don't get it. I just don't get it. Can someone explain it to me? And if you can, and then I do get it.
Wait, explain spray tans or explain Pete Davidson?
Pete Davidson. Is he funny?
Oh.
Is he funny? Is it me?
I don't think he's that funny.
I don't find him funny at all. I don't understand what it is.
Well,
funny is subjective, man.
You know that we talked about going to the Dave Chappelle show that I really wanted to go to, and we were like, yeah, we'll go Friday after the Rams house. And then you said you couldn't go because it was too long and blah, blah, blah.
I just didn't want to see Pete Davidson, who had opened for him the night before.
You didn't know that he opened for him.
I did know.
Well, everyone said he was really funny.
Yeah, I did know. I knew that Thursday night he had opened for him. And I was like, I don't want to see Pete Davidson. Now, where
but
the
why
mistake-
are you so against it if you don't know if he's funny or not? I think it would have been a great learning experience for you to then have a more accurate.
Right. Well, that's a fair point, Lindsay.
But as it turns out, just so you know, it was Bill Burr who opened for Dave Chappelle the next night. Now, that is something I would have liked to have seen.
Right, but I get Bill Burr's funny and you like his comedy, but if you don't think Pete Davidson could have surprised you and said, "Oh, that was funnier than I thought it was going
to
be."
I'm willing to see Pete Davidson do stand up. What I see of him and what I know of him, I don't get the whole thing. And I never really find him funny on SNL. So, I don't understand why he's so blown up and what's special about Pete that I should know as somebody who loves comedy.
I feel like he's similar to Andy Samberg in a way where totally different types of comedians, but he, you know, there's definitely like a niche crowd, an audience for his type of humor. Like, I love Andy Samberg and Hot Rod. I think that's one of the funniest movies ever. But I know a lot of people that are like, I just don't get it. I don't think that movie's funny. And I'm like, okay, well, I couldn't like marry you, but you know, I think that's hilarious. If you laugh at that movie, we're good.
Andy Samberg was really funny when he was on SNL. I just haven't seen Pete Davidson. Well, I mean,
see, Sedano doesn't think so. You know,
I mean, he's funny-ish. I don't think everything he did was that funny.
I don't either. I don't actually find him to be that great either. But when he was on SNL, he made me laugh.
Kyle Mooney is the funniest person on SNL. I don't even know if he's still on it this season, but Kyle Mooney is like underrated, hilarious.
See the guy with the long curly hair?
Yes, he's so funny. Mm-hmm. Oh, his skits on YouTube are great.
I met a guy who looks just like him at the airport in Boston when I was flying back to LA the other day.
He does a really, really funny like YouTube series thing, whatever, back before he blew up, where he would go to games as a reporter, and he would go to the Giants games, and he's like this really shy, awkward reporter going up to actual San Francisco Giants players and asking them these really weird questions, and like he couldn't get out the question, and they were kind of like mean and weird towards him, and it was so funny. It was great.
I'll have to check that out.
One of my favorite things. I'll send you a link. It's called Ball Champs. But
did you say Ball Champs?
Yep, Ball Champs. Very funny. Very funny.
Okay.
All right. So anyway, moving on to the next one here. Family and friends at a funeral in Peru were shocked when the woman being laid to rest suddenly began banging on the inside of her casket.
No way.
Yep. So the lady was involved in a terrible car crash late last month where the doctors thought that she was killed in the accident, and her family scheduled her funeral for the following day. Those in attendance were paying their respects when they started hearing a banging sound coming from the casket. The woman, they opened it up. She turned out to be alive, but she was in a very fragile state. So they rushed her to the hospital.
Holy crap.
But she died before they got there.
Oh, that's horrible.
Right. So now the family's like, what the heck's going on here? Obviously, this is a big deal. But what would you do if you were at this funeral and this happened?
I would be freaked out.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. Completely freaked out.
Wow. She's banging on the casket from the inside. They open up the casket to find out that she's alive. They then try and get her to the hospital because she's obviously like on death's doorstep, and they can't get her to the hospital to keep her alive. Oh, that's just a horrible story.
Like, what would you do if, like, let's just say, like, an acquaintance of yours, if that happened? Like, how would you even react to that? What would you do? I would think someone would.
I'd be mortified. I'd be mortified. Yeah.
I'd be looking around for the hidden cameras.
Well, what
sure.
I'd want to know is I'd want to talk to the funeral director. Excuse me. Can I speak to you over here for a quick second? So you're the person that put her body in the casket, right? Yeah. You didn't realize that she was breathing?
Aren't those people like in the caskets embalmed anyway?
I do believe so, but I'm thinking that since this took place in Peru, I think they might, and the funeral was the next day. I'm assuming they have like different types of like culture traditions and.
Yeah, perhaps that's true. You're right. Yeah, they could be embalmed after the wake.
Because I feel like normally in the U.S., it's like a couple days, you know, between the death and the funeral.
My grandfather told me when I was a little kid. He said, listen, he goes, if anybody in our family ever dies, which they're all going to, by the way, he said, before they ever put the casket in the ground, you open it up and you make sure that the body is in the casket. And I said, why is that, Grandpa? And he said, because I know back in the day, they would sell you the casket, put your body in there, close the casket, put you in the ground, bury you. Then when the family leaves, they'd unbury you, take your body out, throw you in the garbage, and sell the same casket over and over again. So, like, my grandfather, like, put this in my head. You must always make sure that you're in the casket. I know, horrible, right?
Yeah, that's really horrible.
You know the emotional damage that was done to a little kid? I was like five when he was telling me this.
Yikes.
For reals.
Oh, what's next, Lindsay?
All right, so last one here. So California, which has an economy larger than all but four countries and where much of the world's technological innovation is born, became the first state to formally begin examining how to broadly adapt to cryptocurrency and related innovations. Cap's buddy, Gavin Newsom.
He's texting me right now.
Exactly. He's texting you because he signed an executive order for state agencies to move in tandem with the government to craft regulations for digital currencies. It also calls for officials to explore incorporating broader blockchain computer coding into government operations. So they're going to regulate it, make this a part of banking and everyday life. I think this is a pretty big deal. But Cap, since you're so like hesitant to get on board with all this, how do you feel about this?
I feel what I heard you just say excites me in this way. The notion of blockchain and using, I think blockchain technology in the next 5 years will become very commonplace. And I think everybody will understand what blockchain is and what it does. I've only been reluctant to invest in crypto because for the longest time, the Coinbase app wouldn't work for me. And now that I finally got it working, I got no money left. You know what I'm saying?
Well, you could do what I did and what I actually had my mom do was invest like $20 a week. Just have like it take $20.
Yeah, they call it DCAing, dollar cost averaging.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, right now, if Tulane University will take Bitcoin, we could have that conversation about me starting to invest in Bitcoin. But right now,
you don't need a lot. Like I said, $20 a week. Kept my $20 a week over the course of last summer, two summers ago, turned into a good down payment for a new car for me.
Wow. Congrats. So, I know a guy who came up to me recently. He's a 710 listener. And I was in a pizza shop, and he's like, yo, I listen to you and Sedano. I'm a big fan. Great, great. That's nice. He goes, dude, he looked at me. He goes, you're looking at a Bitcoin millionaire. And I said, oh, really? He said, yeah, I was a teacher in school, and I got into Bitcoin real early. He goes, and now I'm retired. He goes, I'm not even a teacher anymore. I'm a Bitcoin millionaire. I said, wow, congratulations.
That's awesome.
I know another guy who was a cameraman for CBS, did NFL football games. This guy would always call me. He's like, dude, I'm down on my luck. You have no idea. My ex-wife. I mean, I felt so bad for the guy. And I ran into him. He's like, dude, I invested a little bit of money into Bitcoin early, and I made a fortune. I'm like, I am so happy for you. So these success stories, I love to hear them.
And then you have stories like me where my, you know, I think I told, I don't know if I told you guys this, but I definitely told it on Mason in Ireland way back in like 2011, I don't know, right when it came out. I think it came out in 2007, maybe. I was trying to, I know my dad listens to the show, but so sorry, Dad, but like I was trying to like see if you could actually like buy weed on the internet. And at the time, the only, it was, you know, it's still not legal in Ohio, but I just wanted to see, like, is this possible? You know, they talk about the dark net or whatever. So I my boyfriend at the time was like, yeah, you just have to buy Bitcoin. So I bought like 10 or 15 Bitcoin, right? Because they were a few dollars and I was trying to come up with like $50, buy like $50 worth of Bitcoin. And I had like I said, somewhere for between 10 and 15, like 13 Bitcoin. And back then, they didn't have all these exchanges the way that they do now. You store them on
a hard
drive.
Yeah, you had to do that stuff on like the dark web.
Yep,
yeah.
Yep.
Yeah,
and you stored the keys on a hard drive. And I moved probably five times since then, sold my house. I tore apart my house that I sold looking for that freaking hard drive.
Oh, you lost it?
No, yeah.
And you lost
it? Never
saw
it again.
So wait, so the Bitcoin is still there on the hard drive?
The key.
Well, there's a lot of those stories. There's a belief that there's at least 4 million Bitcoin that have been lost.
Yep. There's a
in stories like that.
Yep.
Yeah.
There's a profile, I think, in the New York Times recently where this guy had a drive with hundreds of Bitcoin on it. And he got so depressed and spiraled so deep, he used to go to the dump every single day. The dump, like the town dump in a big city, and dig through to try and find the garbage bag that had his hard drive in it.
Yeah. See, this sounds like something I would do, and I'm glad I didn't do it. I'm glad you did it. You know, it's kind of like when I see Tiger Woods miss a 2-foot putt, I'm like, yes. And like, why are you rooting against him? I'm not rooting against him. It's just that it happens to him, just like it happens to me. So you throwing out your hard drive that had Bitcoin on it, that's something I would do.
Well, I never had the money, so it's not like I lost it. But man, I sure wish I did.
I wonder how much it was.
Oh my God, you'd have a ton of money for sure. All right, that is Big Deal or No Deal each and every day at 6:30. All right, Cap, we're going to answer Elliot's questions. He had a laundry list of issues with the Lakers. We'll do that to wrap up the show next. We're back in 2 minutes.
This episode is brought to you by State Farm. You might say all kinds of stuff when things go wrong, but these are the words you really need to remember. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. They've got options to fit your unique insurance needs, meaning you can talk to your agent to choose the coverage you need, have coverage options to protect the things you value most, file a claim right on the State Farm mobile app, and even reach a real person when you need to talk to someone. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Yo, did I hear we're going to see like the Backstreet Boys and
New Kids on the Block,
NKOTB,
and En Vogue? Who else is gonna be? Let me look it up.
Who else?
Salt and Pepper.
No, yeah, and also
Rick Astley.
Yeah,
we
little
know
Rick
that's
roll.
The guy you want to see.
Yeah, I don't really want to see any of these guys, but I'll go for the fun of it.
What do you mean you don't want to see Salt and Pepper sing Shoop? It's a good
Salt
song.
And Pepper here, then we in effect want you to push it, babe.
Oh yeah, yeah, it's a good one.
Yeah.
Or like En Vogue, they sang don't know what some
moving
of the songs
by
they
day,
sang.
Then at night, working up a sweat. Come on now, let's go. It's time. Salt and Pepper here. Yeah. George, you know any Salt and Pepper?
Never gonna get it.
I mean, I know Push It.
En Vogue. That's it. Funch got it.
Never gonna get
that's
it.
That's a great
never
song.
Never gonna get it. Never gonna get it. Never gonna get it. Never gonna get it. Yeah. George, maybe you should try doing Never Gonna Get It as Chewbacca.
No, that one I can't do for sure.
Or Push It.
Chewy does the hits. And it's just George going,
or Rick Astley.
Yeah, I can't do Never Gonna Give You Up. That's too hard to do as Chewbacca. So anyhow, so Elliot called earlier, and he was fired up, man. And you know what? He brings up an interesting point. Like, no one ever talks about them. I mean, I don't want to say no one, because I mentioned Stephen A. Smith actually literally says it to Magic's face whenever he's on. Like, I told you to take Jason Tatum. You took Lonzo instead. But not enough people bring that up. That was mistake number one, because if you had Jason Tatum, I mean, he's become one of the greatest players in the sport already. It's pretty wild when you think about it, how good he's become.
Yeah, but what are we going to do here? I mean, I guess it's kind of part of the fun of dissecting what went wrong.
Well, basically what he's saying is they have made a lot of missteps.
I understand.
And that LeBron and AD made up for some of that for a year.
1 year.
And that's it.
Right.
You know, but the miscues have been there.
Well, look, so you got a championship, and you have the most famous and the greatest player of his era on your team. And you've had to deal with what comes with having the greatest player of the era on your team, which is he has a very strong opinion and he can be an intimidating and overwhelming force. And therefore, more often than not, everybody does what he says. And as great a player as he is, he may not be as great of a team roster builder. But I just go back to what I said. I know a lot of people have called, and some people are buying into this, which is don't keep doing this every year. Don't keep changing the roster every year. Now, look, obviously they're going to have some pieces come and go, but the three main pieces, they believed, those three guys, they could win a championship together, and they played 21 games together. So why not go prove the world wrong rather than prove everybody right, which is Russ won't work, let's get rid of him. Especially knowing how hard it's going to be, and you're probably not going to get anything anyway. I say run it back and see what happens. Now I'm
you
being
know
selfish.
What's happen?
Just so
do
everybody
wanna,
knows, I'm being selfish.
You're being selfish because you want content.
I just want Russ's post-game press conferences.
Now, do you know what? Do you know what's going to happen? Do you want my prediction on what would happen if they all came back?
Yeah, go ahead.
They'd be like a 48-win team, 46-48-win team.
Okay. Then we're going to make it into the playoffs.
Yeah, but it's not great.
I'm not saying it's great, but, I mean, listen, again, I'm –
do you know what 48 wins would have gotten you this year?
Tell me.
48 would have gotten you the sixth seed. 46 would have gotten you the seventh seed, the play-in spot, the top play-in spot.
Okay.
So it's not like they would have been great, I think.
Look, I'm saying that the three main guys that all convinced the Laker front office last year, we can do this together. And anybody who would have put up any resistance, like, I don't know if Russ is the right guy. There's chemistry issues. There's obviously skill set issues. There's he's getting older. Is he still the same guy issues? Listen, as Elliot pointed out, I think it was Elliot, or maybe it was Manuel, when they put this team together, there was an expectation that they could compete for a championship. It didn't happen. So what do you do now? Do you just revamp it all? Or do you say, wait, we only played 21 games. We never really got a chance. If I'm LeBron, I want to prove the world wrong. Just like LeBron was saying last year, hey, keep that energy. We're old. We can't do this. We can't do that. Keep that energy. People kept it. You keep the energy, LeBron. You keep your team. You built it. Now go win with it. Not in 21 games, in 60 games. I wouldn't give up yet. Because I don't think I don't think trading Russell Westbrook is that easy to do.
Oh no, it's definitely not that easy to do. But if there are indeed teams that are willing to do it without the draft picks, I think you have to strongly consider that.
You talking about just for Russ, or are you talking about LeBron as well?
No, for Russ.
Okay, because you know this is the conversation that got us started on all of this.
You're not trading draft picks to get rid of LeBron. You're getting draft picks.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Getting. You're gonna. I mean, you could get stuff for LeBron.
Yeah. Of course you could, yeah.
And I say that, and I really wonder how valuable is LeBron as trade bait, because any team he goes to, now he becomes the center of their universe. And if they're already good and they're already a contender, now all of a sudden LeBron comes walking in and he's just, like I said, overwhelming. And so how many teams want to...
I think it depends on where he goes.
Okay, so
I think he's overwhelming in Cleveland.
Okay.
I don't think he's overwhelming at Golden State when you had mentioned... that, you know, he wants to play with Steph. I don't think he's overwhelming in Miami either.
Well,
I think he's overwhelming in Cleveland because he got them that title. I think the other places, they'd be like, you know, look, the Miami would be like, we taught you how to win. And then the other team would be like, yo, we've won plenty without you and we've beaten you. So, well, like, you can't. It's the only really real place where that would happen outside of here would be Cleveland.
Well, I'd love to see LeBron
in those scenarios.
Go play with Steph Curry. And Steph go, hey, look, we don't really need you, but we'd love to have you.
We did that with KD.
Right. So we've done this already. We've proven that our formula works. Can you, LeBron, do what you asked Russ to do? Can you, LeBron, come to our team and fit in with us rather than making all of us adjust to you?
Oh, no. LeBron, if LeBron went to the Warriors, which would never happen, it would be incredible. Now, I don't know what the Warriors would give up. Like, you know, I guess Jordan Poole and Wiseman and a bunch of picks or whatever in that situation. But I would, you know, if they get to keep Steph, Draymond, and Clay and they play with LeBron, they'd be really old. But they'd be really damn good because LeBron would be the point guard and Steph wouldn't have to worry about handling the ball. And Dre would handle the ball when LeBron's not there. If they just got a couple more shooters or another shooter just to replace Jordan Poole, like, it doesn't even have to be a great shooter. Just one more pretty, like, good shooter, they'd be in business for sure to win a bunch of championships a couple of championships.
Hey, listen, you mentioned Draymond Green. Let me talk about him for a quick second.
Sure.
Did you happen to see last night?
I did. I saw all of it.
Okay.
Yes.
So he gets hit in the face. His face gets cut. He's walking off the floor in Memphis. Everybody's cheering because one of the villains of the game, he has positioned himself as one of the villains of basketball.
Yeah.
He's getting cheered because he's leaving due to an injury, and he gives the double middle fingers to the crowd in Memphis.
Right, yeah.
Now, afterwards, they sit him down at a press conference. They're like, yo, what's up with
that? You better hurry up because we only have like a minute and change.
All right. And what he says is, hey, you know what? I made $25 million this year. I'm fine. That's okay. They can find me.
Yeah, he says, if they find me, I made $25 million. Yeah. I'm fine.
Right. He's like, otherwise, I'll just make an appearance, and I'll make the money, and I'll pay. Like, I love that Draymond Green is going to the Charles Barkley School of Say Anything and set yourself up for a post-career broadcasting world kind of deal.
Well, he's already my post-career. He's working for them right now.
I know he is. And that's what I love about him. You may not love his opinions about things, but I love his brashness. I love his candor. And I thought it was great last night.
I think he's one of the most interesting players in the sport because of how just open and honest he is. I don't agree with everything he says, but I totally love him as part of the game. He's one of my favorite people to talk to.
So, George, where are you headed to tomorrow? Because you're out.
To Philly. I'm doing the Game 3 of this Philly Heat series.
Okay. And then that
means
tomorrow.
So, Joel Embiid might be back in that game. So,
all
we'll
right.
see.
Beto Duran in for the next 2 days. And that should always be interesting when Beto and I get together.
That'll be fire and lit. A lit fire.
It will be both of those things. Like Beto's shorts that he was wearing the other day on the golf course, those hot pink shorts.
Yeah.
Dude, wear those and bring that hot pink attitude, Beto.
All right, Cappy, have a great time. Don't burn down the house without me, okay?
I'm going to say a whole bunch of stuff that's going to get attributed to you.
Great. All right. Excellent work, Lindsay and Funchy. We will talk to you mañana. I won't. They will. See ya. Have a good weekend for me.